The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Yesterday, I saw something interesting that was posted online, and I want to share it with you. Laura and I met in preschool. One of my first memories is of being 3 years old and standing up in front of my preschool class, declaring that I would marry her someday. As kids, Laura taught me how to ride the swings, draw rolling hills the right way, to properly eat string cheese. We have fond memories of playing hide-and-seek, chasing each other on the playground, and mischievously staying up during nap time. Eventually, we lost touch upon entering elementary school. For the next 7 years, our family's annual Christmas cards was the only way we'd ever see each other. It wasn't until high school that we reconnected by happenstance through a mutual friend. Within 2 weeks, we decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend. We continued to date through high school, even though we went to different schools. We even stuck together long distance while attending colleges in different states. We remained a resilient couple until May 23rd, when I decided to stay true to my preschool pledge and make Laura my wife. I proposed to her at the place it all began, at our preschool. This was a story I saw online, complete with pictures and that. And it was just a really nice story on a really crappy day.
Really crappy. It sounds very heartwarming.
It really was. I'm gonna tweet some pictures out, or a link to the story. You can see the different pictures. So they meet in preschool.
Uh-huh.
And he says he's gonna marry her someday, and they have all these pictures of them playing together. And then they reconnect in high school, and then recently they posted the story how they got married. They did. They just got married, but they included the pictures of him proposing, or what it was, and it was back at the preschool. That was a year or two, whatever, when he proposed. But what a nice story.
That's true love.
You seem to have a little...
What?
You seem to be a little skeptical of the story here, like you got a problem with it.
So these two were in preschool together.
Right. It's just a nice story.
And then he, you know, she was his preschool girlfriend.
Do I have to start off yelling about Trump? Is that what I have to do? Or calling Nancy Pelosi a washed up old hag? I
mean,
is
that adults? No, what I'm saying, it's a beautiful story.
I don't think you're giving this its due.
I'm trying to.
You seem to be a little cynical here.
Maybe I'm a little jaded.
She thought it was a nice story.
I'm thinking they'll probably be divorced in a year.
She said, wow. She said they thought, after all of this, they're going to be divorced. He didn't realize yet.
You know, he's probably going to, they're going to get pregnant. He's not going to be happy. She's fat. He's going to go find a side
piece. Try to do something a little bit nice here. She said she thought when he proposed, they were just going to go on a picnic date. And he proposed. He said the whole car.
I hope they have true love.
He said the whole car ride to the preschool. He said, I kept checking my pocket to make. When she wasn't looking, to make sure the ring was still there.
Oh,
you know, you're like, okay, I didn't lose it. Okay, good. I'm gonna have to do this or whatever. But yeah, the look on your face is like, wow. Okay,
I think I've become
so they're
too
married.
Cynical.
Kirk, this is a nice story, right? I mean, you felt
it's a great story.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you can't go by Kirk standards.
Why not?
Because I think Kirk has shown a history of, you know.
You're saying he's not jaded yet, like you. He's not old and jaded,
probably. But he's also, you know, young and on the prowl.
Right.
I'm not married. Is that why I don't understand it?
You don't know.
Your story isn't like that?
You don't know what happens. It always starts like this. Do I really have to tell you?
I am deeply in love with my wife.
So am I.
I love my wife, and I think this is
nice. I do, too.
And I feel this way about my wife, although we didn't meet in preschool.
I do as well.
Is your story like this?
But sometimes.
It can be frustrating. Most of my frustrations that center around my wife have little to do directly with my wife.
Explain, please. How's that? Or is it just like with the female race in general?
Okay. No, I mean, it would be like my wife is great.
What?
Like the effing dog.
That's the crux of your issues is mom, the effing dog?
Mom-in-law and, you know, the extenuating stuff.
And everything that comes with that?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So, like, she and I head down to the store or, you know, and go out to dinner or walk around the block or something. Everything's great.
As soon as the effing dog...
If the effing dog has to come with us, it's going to be trouble, right?
And the mother-in-law, that's where things start to get complicated.
I don't know if this girl has a dog or not.
I'm sure she has a mom.
Wow.
Okay. Sure he has a mother-in-law.
Well, I'm sorry to try to bring, you know, just a nice little heartwarming story to everybody.
It's beautiful, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Don't give me that now. I can see the look in your face. You're poo-pooing the whole thing.
Listen,
right off, you're
poo-pooing.
You got to
realize, again.
You are a poo-pooer.
I've got a very pregnant wife at home. I'm not sleeping
right
much.
You should feel even like more
a very pregnant,
you know,
emotional wife. I don't even want to tell you what last night's.
You should be even more, you know, heartened because of this.
I think, you know what?
You're not heartened. Get heartened, damn it.
I want to say 90% of my issues in my marriage are also related to the in-laws. So there's some way we could remove them. Remove in-laws. Like, how do you cut that tie? That's not possible, right?
Mm. Now, would she say the same thing about your parents?
No, she loves my parents. She absolutely loves my, she loves my parents more than her. Like, her and my mom, she's like, I love your mom. She can't stand her own mother. And I can't either, but.
Yeah, see, my parents were never like this. I mean, first of all, my dad's dead, so we don't have to worry about that. But my mom has always been so worried about being the mother-in-law that's a problem.
That she's like.
That she doesn't say anything. It's like, you know, okay, all right. I mean, she just avoids.
I don't think that's possible.
What's that?
Because every mother has to chime in.
No,
when she sees.
She's, and even when she does, she's,
really?
Yeah, seriously, she is.
Again, my mom's actually really cool, and they get along, but my mom can't, when she sees something that she's not crazy about, she's going to talk about it, even though it's annoying. And
my mom avoids, and if she does, it's always like, hey, if I can help, but if you don't want to know, that's fine, you know, okay, cool. I mean, it's just real, I'll do my thing. It's
my mom's the opposite. Funny. She'll, like, hit that button over and over and over again. Until,
just keep going.
Yeah,
just
about
keep
this going. Thing that's like, you know, when I did it, you know, it was like this, and when I, you should do this and this, but I'm, you know, I'm, and then if, I was like, okay, mom, okay, and we don't take her advice, you know, about something, she gets like hurt sometimes, her feelings get hurt.
Oh, no. Yeah, and my mom doesn't play the passive aggressive, like, let's say, let's say this is not the case or has anything to do with it, but let's say there's something she thought you should do, like child rearing, like, okay, the kid should be off the bottle or out of diapers or whatever it is. You're not doing that fast enough.
Right.
Some people would say something like, hey, you know, I got some sippy cups in there. You know, like get them off the bottle type of thing. My mom doesn't play that game.
He should be off the bottle by now, you know.
Yeah, if she does want to say something, she says it, but she just avoids the thing. So. Anyway, it's a shame, Cal, that you can't be more heartened by stories like this, that you're that jaded.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. It's okay.
I'll be like in
try
like
something a little different there and move on.
I'm only about 5 years into it.
Okay. All right. I just I'm ready to move on now. I'll give you something. You know, like cops at a mall and in a store. Cops at a says a mall store employee is recovering after a woman bit her while she was attempting to steal a stripper pole.
See, that's more like it. That's
what you want.
That's what I want.
That's what you want.
She was attempting to buy a stripper pole.
Yeah, Spencer's Gifts employee in Little Rock. They still have
they
Spencer's.
Still have,
that's
what's
like
that.
Wow.
Like, there's not enough, you know, sex novelty items and stupid.
Here's fart spray.
Yeah.
Here's a shirt with somebody flipping you off. Here's a mug that says Drunken State University. Here's
a lava lamp.
Here's massagers that look strangely like marital aids. Right. Right. That's Spencer's gift. Did I just name 40% of their
Here's
products
fake
right there?
Poop.
what other gifts do they have at Spencer's gift?
Here's a poster of Charles in Charge from 1990.
That's it. You got those. Kirk, they still have the Spencer's Gifts.
I can't believe they still. I mean, that was around.
Did you go when you were in high school?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The mall. Or,
I can't believe it has managed to surpass.
Seriously.
What is their business model? It's just, it's 15-year-old boys, right? That's it?
Basically. Here's a FBI shirt, female body inspector.
It's all the stuff that your parents would never let you have.
Right.
Like no, don't have. You can't have that.
You know that one.
I know. That's what's so funny because it's legit. And I imagine that never goes out of style.
No, I guess you've always got immature guys coming out of college, going in or coming out of college. I think that's their demographic.
Or going in and out of their marriages.
Yeah, or getting out of their marriage, exactly.
But yeah, I never realized it. But you're right. All of that crap's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
It's just generational. For some guys that grow up and are like, oh, okay, that's not for me anymore, you got a whole new crop coming in.
There's always someone turning 15.
Actually, it's an amazing business model. Good for you. I don't know if brick and mortar still works, but good for you. So yeah, Spencer's Gift. So,
They sell stripper poles, apparently?
Yeah, apparently one of the new ones.
All right.
Yeah, one of their new items. Spencer, newer.
Uh-huh.
Probably been around for 20 years. Spencer's Gifts employee in Little Rock says the suspect came in, tried to return an item for cash or store credit. She recognized the woman because she suspected this woman of previously trying to steal from the store. The woman decided that she would rather take credit, specifically an item, a stripper pole, in place of store credit. But there was a problem. She didn't have enough money for the thing she was returning to get said stripper pole.
So she was returning something, and that total was not enough for the stripper pole, so there's a difference she had to pay.
Right. The woman became agitated and frustrated and decided she was just going to take stripper pole anyways.
Damn it.
I'm just leaving.
I need this stripper pole.
You don't understand.
I don't care that I owe you another $12.39. I need this stripper pole.
So the employee chased her into the common area of the mall and then wrestled the pole from her.
That's a dedicated employee, because that wouldn't have even bothered.
Would have just been like, security, some lady made off with the stripper pole. Next.
Don't run away.
I did my due diligence, right? I told him that you walked out with the stripper pole.
I got to stock this fake poop shelf. Come on.
Got to get that stuff back up there.
Got things I
got to
get done.
She then wrestled the pole, and during the wrestling match, the suspect bit her on the upper arm. Then the woman fled. Mall security was contacted. They were unsuccessful at locating her. The suspect is described as a black woman, approximately 5'3", 120 pounds, long curly black hair and brown eyes, and acute at stripping.
You think?
Yeah, exactly. So
she had to practice at home for the day job.
Wow. So anyway, that's pretty wild, huh?
That's more my type of... the other one was heartfelt and nice, but...
Okay.
Stolen stripper pole biting.
All right. At least I know. Let me put that on the list. Check off what works and what doesn't work for Cal so I know moving forward. Good. Good.
I'm glad you
for
know.
You. Now, which one of those would your wife have liked?
The first one, probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
My wife?
The stripper pole.
She would like the stripper pole.
And that's why you get along with your wife?
She's a news anchor. That's the type she would have sent me in. What the hell? Seriously?
Did you
see this? Those are the ones she sends me.
She would have been like, Spencer's is still open?
That's it. We'll write down the whole process. Yeah. Relief Factors, an all-natural anti-inflammatory, helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. It works, folks. That's the bottom line. You got pain? You got pain from things that you do at work, certain activities that the rest of your family thinks is fun but just causes you chronic pain?
When my wife was in the hospital, they have the delivery bed, and they have what they call the dad couch, which is just like
really
a
comfortable
hard bench.
It's like a slab of stone.
With like an inch of foam on it. Mm-hmm. And I slept on that for a week, and needless to say, that wasn't comfortable, but I had my Relief Factor. So I didn't have the pain. I thought I was going to wake up with this horrible neck pain, but I was fine. I think it's because I had the Relief Factor.
Yeah, you deal with the pain by dealing with the inflammation, because that's what causes most of the pain in the body. And you can start today. All you have to do is call 800-583-84. That's 800-583-84. Just $19.95 for a three-week quick start pack, or you go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hey.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
See, I think it was a lot more than that when my oldest son was born. I think it was a lot more than that.
Really? More?
Yeah, so Cal and I were talking off the air briefly about when you have kids now, they offer this now. In the last 15 years, they've offered the service.
Cord blood and tissue storage. They harvest blood from the umbilical cord. And if you want, also they harvest tissue, I believe from the placenta. When the baby's born, and what it is is that they save that because the stem cells in those parts later on can be very useful. God forbid she has some sort of degenerative disease or cancer.
They can use those cells there.
Use those stem cells to heal. Yeah, there's a lot of it's really amazing stuff what they're doing. Yeah, so but it's very pricey. But I don't want to say no. You know, it's like.
It's difficult.
It's a big chunk.
And by the way, you're rolling the dice because it's probably like. over 99% of the time you would never use
it. You'll never need it. But I'd hate, like, God forbid something happened
and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done it,
you know?
Right. You're buying a lottery ticket or an insurance policy. It's gambling, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, it's good that you're thinking that way. When my oldest son was born, it was really pricey. Now that price has come down.
I mean,
is it, $2,500 up front?
Like, right, the salvaging of the tissue and blood is about $2,500. And then they charge a storage fee, yearly storage fee of $300 a year, which actually just went up because with my daughter, we did it with my daughter.
First daughter.
Yeah, it was, I believe it was somewhere around $2,800 or $2,900 up front, and then $250 a year. So they came down in the salvage price or the initial whatever.
Now, while I think this is valuable, the amount of money they're charging is a bit of a scam.
You think so?
Yeah.
And it's not like I actually negotiate. I got priced.
Really?
The upfront down, I got.
Really?
They wanted like 27 and change, and I was like, can you do 2,500? At least, can you come down? And they're like, all right, just because you've been with us before, and I've got a little wiggle room.
Good for you.
The guy did it. But he wouldn't come down on the storage. I was like, what about the storage? Can we do something about that? Because I was like, can I get a 2-for-1 deal here? I'm paying with you for my first kid. What about the second kid? Give me a deal here. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed.
Do you have the end storage unit, the one that gets damaged first in case of a fire or something?
The storage unit with a big pole in it that takes up a lot of space.
You know, I'll take the basement level storage, whatever it is.
At the same time, like, I'm putting a lot of faith in them that they're going to keep this and for the basically the entirety of my daughter's life, you know?
If I paid this and believed this and then something happens to them where they needed it and it wasn't available, because here's what would happen. The doctor would be telling them about this horrible disease they have, and they're like, the good news is we have the stem cells, and that's good. And they're like, about that, I would lose my mind oh, thank God we did. Don't have it? Well, I would lose my mind.
See, it was next to the fridge where the vending machine was, and Bob accidentally knocked it over.
He had a large lunch and needed the extra storage burrito.
They'll give me my daughter's stem cells if I need it.
Yeah, there's a lease of faith.
Here you go. You know?
I imagine that's fairly secure.
But here's
the scam about it. Okay, so they harvest them.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. I said salvage. I meant harvest.
Yeah, that's okay. So $3,000 to harvest? Don't you just cut that thing off the umbilical cord and...
I would think
maybe some special carrots. How long does that take?
I mean, the doctor does it after the baby's delivered.
Yeah.
It's right then and there. They take it.
So you don't throw it in the bin of stuff you're throwing out. Throw it in the bin of stuff you're keeping. I mean, I don't.
They put it in some sort of special, you know.
Solution or.
Packaging and then send it off.
Okay. You freeze it. Seems like you just toss that thing, label it. It doesn't seem like $3,000 worth of activity.
Right.
I'm sure you hire someone. It's okay.
I agree.
And then the storage.
I'm sure if they offered me, you could do it yourself for like, and only give us like $150, I'd do it.
Oh, I'll keep it. I'll snip, I'll buy a freezer.
Just tell me where I'll snip it. And that's right. I'll cut off what I
need. Oh, yeah, harvest. I'll do that. Absolutely.
I'll harvest myself.
Dang straight it is. In fact, I would go
can
to Cal and
in
I'd
my
go.
Freezer? Can I just do it myself? Can I put it
Cal,
in the freezer?
Cal, you know, I'll harvest it for you for like $20. I'll come in. I'll drive over to the hospital.
On that option.
You pay for the gas on the way over the hospital. I'm good to go. And then, yeah, storage it.
See, you know what? Seriously, what's keeping me from... it's my child. So that technically, that tissue is my property, right?
From yeah, there's probably a law about...
Taking, like, you know...
Tissue like that being dangerous or something. I don't
if
know.
If I say, have I to want that, don't dispose of it. I want it. And I took it and put it in a freezer of some sort for ever... Mm-hmm. Sure, I could do it myself.
They didn't give me the option when I had my appendix out. I wish I would have had that thing in a jar.
Keep
you see in movies and stuff, people's like, here, I had this out. I'd like to see that.
Because it's your property, your body. I mean, I'm, as her guardian, I would have the rights over that. So I don't know why I can't just put it in a freezer myself.
I don't know.
And then this is sort of special.
And how big
is
it?
This is a scam.
How big is it? The size of a pen?
I don't know. I mean, what exactly.
Like a chapstick
I
or something, right?
It. They just took it and sent it off to this.
It's going
to
be like the size of a chapstick.
How much? Blood registry.
That's $300 worth of storage? That seems like a scam. I have a freezer that I bought for $150 in my garage.
Put it in a Ziploc bag, throw it in your freezer.
Right. I can still put everything else. There's no space
gotta
to that.
I got to look into this.
Okay, so you need a backup generator if I would say a couple $100?
Yeah.
You know.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at The Blaze Brad, at Cal79, and at Real Chris Cruz. Again, hashtag what I learned today. Joining us now, Mark and Sonia, authors of I Just Want to See Trees, A Journey Through PTSD. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. This is an important topic for us. First of all, we do a lot to try to help out veterans any way we can. And one of our crew here, Chris Cruz, is a veteran who has experienced some of those effects.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not fun.
Oh, no, it's not fun. I was telling them actually on the phone when I was calling them. It's like I suffered. The first case was a mild PTSD, but then the second one when I got diagnosed after Iraq, it was the worst one because that's when I got the panic attacks and I got all that crazy stuff. But I was telling them that I actually lost one of my coworkers where he killed his family, and then he committed suicide because of the PTSD. He did not know how to handle the whole PTSD situation. So it's really sad.
So, Mark and Sonia, this is particularly troubling because we now have so many cases because we've had such a long war.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's an epidemic. When you have 20-plus people committing suicide, veterans committing suicide, a day. This is an epidemic. We absolutely have a crisis on our hands.
So what's the best way forward? How do we deal with this?
Well, for us, you know, we're heavy into, you know, getting the treatment you need. The first piece is actually recognizing what's happening. You know, oftentimes a lot of people have heard so many different times the terms PTSD, but they haven't really connected with, hey, is that actually what's going on with me or with my spouse? And, you know, oftentimes the terms PTSD is just really overwhelming to think of having something like post-traumatic stress disorder. So,
I imagine it's a pretty broad term, too, that people apply it probably wrongly at times and then the people don't know what it fully entails.
Right.
Yeah. I believe that.
We've got what? The reports are that we have 22 people committing suicide, veterans committing suicide per day, which is incredible. It's just a staggering statistic. But then some of the reports we've seen, it could be as high as 70 based on the way they report. They actually say it can't be reported as assisted or a suicide, a vet committing suicide, if it has anything to do with alcohol, meaning if, you know, if they went out and had just a beer the day before or something in some cases. Yeah. And then there's certain states that don't report, like California and Michigan, which are pretty big states.
Right, right. You know, some of the biggest things to look for is really, you know, isolating, worrying, really feeling on edge the whole time.
Pushing your family away. You certainly go through these periods, these dark periods where you just completely isolating yourself from everybody. You're really not engaging as much with your family, and really and truly, the first people who notice are the people closest to you, and they can't understand what is happening with you.
And the veterans going through this, they don't even understand what's going on with them.
Yep,
correct. They don't understand why they're angry, why they're sad, why they feel guilty. They don't understand these things, and they chalk it up as possibly a sign of weakness or a sign of inadequacy, and that's something that that is very prevalent.
So you've got people, men and women, who are doers. These are strong, independent people who say, "I'm going to join the service. I'm going to defend my country." I mean, it takes a certain personality type of, you know, an independent go-getter. I'm going to do strong. And then they suffer from something that they don't even really know what's going on. And it's not as obvious as saying I've got a physical wound that I know that is. It's just I feel weird and I need help and I should be the strong one taking care of my family.
Absolutely.
Well, and oftentimes, so I'm a psychologist, and oftentimes I have different people rating different traumas. Well, I'm the one who came home, and you know I'm not missing an arm or a leg, or you know nothing bad happened to me. You know, bad happened to them, so I don't deserve to have these feelings. They deserve to have these feelings, but I don't. And so if there isn't a physical injury, oftentimes, people feel like, these emotions are not valid. And so they invalidate it because we tend to rank traumas. And the reality is that a trauma is a trauma. There's no ranking, my trauma was worse than your trauma. And with PTSD, we know that 100 people can witness the exact same event. The very same trauma can happen to 100 people. And every single one of them is going to experience it different. And out of that 100, only about 20 to 25% are going to continue to really have those effects linger and last longer. And so those 20 to 25% will meet criteria for PTSD.
So we've discovered some of the alternative treatments to help people deal with PTSD. You've got service animals, right? You got that's different support animals. There's, what is it, the hyperbaric chambers? But I say at this point, guys, we look into everything. And if a service animal helps one vet, okay, good. Then it helped them. Good. If hyperbaric chambers helps three, let's help whatever helps.
One of the things that, when I went through my treatment was, they offered me the drugs and I was like, no, I don't want to do the drugs, because a lot of friends have had the whole PTSD symptoms and all that stuff. They did the drugs and they were like, oh, I feel numb, even more numb than I was before. So my treatment was real simple. My treatment was talking to a psychiatrist and a counselor 5 times a week. And yeah, it was an hour or to an hour and a half sessions. And one of the weirdest ones was that she will trigger me. She was like, okay, what? And we got it to pinpoint to two different things. It was smell and hear. Of certain things.
Okay.
So she was able to trigger my anxiety attacks by the smell of big red gum. Because during one of the attacks...
Oh, I wish we had known that.
One of the attacks...
That's mean,
such a jerk.
Man.
That is
really?
Completely
wanna,
jerk.
No, wanna, I mean...
I'm here burning my soul.
No, seriously? I mean, so we could tell the staff not to chew big red gum.
No,
I'm sure
no,
that's why you would do
no.
it. You want to trigger the poor guy back to like when he was shot in the taxi. HR is on the line for you, Doc.
And then, so no. She was
Chris,
able to,
check out this new bubble red gum I got. It's really tasty.
She was able to point out to the big red gum because during one of the first stacks that I was chewing red gum. And as soon as the cinnamon hit me, I was back in war like a movie. The second was a helicopter.
The sound
of the helicopter. And that was because the other attack, it was by helicopter. Well, the helicopter saved us with Hellfire, but it was all triggered because the attack was happening and we didn't have backup. And here comes the helicopter saving us. And that's the last thing I remember from that situation.
Wow.
So it's really interesting that just talking like we're doing right now about the situation and literally triggering me every single day worked a lot better than the drugs.
So is that pretty standard that there's trigger things like that?
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of different triggers, and oftentimes we work first on the coping skills. You know, what things really help you feel better in the short term, and then we start working on the triggers. There's different techniques to use. One of the most successful ones is called EMDR. So it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And literally you take a memory like that, and essentially your brain puts everything into different file folders. So it will pair an experience, and just like he said, you'll have that experience and you'll pair it with different information things like the gum or a certain smell, a certain touch.
So essentially, when your brain smells, in Chris's case, the big red gum, it opens up that file, and right next to it is this experience. It's kind of like that.
Right. And it may be attached to a lot of other experiences. With EMDR, you're able to reprocess those experiences, and you're able to diminish some of those really high-intensity, volatile emotions attached to it.
And what is EMDR again? It's eye movement
desensitization and reprocessing.
How specifically does it work then? What is the eye movement part of it?
Well, so usually you're following somebody's finger and or you're following a light
or tappers. You have like these little handles you hold in each hand and vibrate in each hand, so it just kind of acts as your right and left side of your brain, I guess, and it allows you to go back to that scene, and you're having to go through it in your head and talk about it as you're going through the vibration in each hand, and that's causing. It's a conduit. It allows you to be able to reach inside and let this out.
That's really cool.
The more you do it, the more desensitized you become to that. And you know, there was a time I couldn't even talk about certain things. I honestly could not physically talk about it without just breaking down, because mine was taking care of the sick and the wounded. I was the first line doc. I was the first line medical provider. Patching guys that were my friends. These are guys I deployed with. These are, you know, and so there's a lot of that. And talking about my experiences was very difficult because it brought me back to a place of me feeling very guilty for the ones that I could not save, the unsavable.
Well, not just only guilty, you felt like helpless, like you couldn't do as much as you can. You know, because that's one of my things that I had was like, you know, when, because I lost three friends over there in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, and you know, you're like, oh man, if I could have just done this one thing, if I could have grabbed that other shift so that the other guy would have had a better night's sleep, and you start tracing these stupid thoughts of like, oh, maybe if I would have a better breakfast, what does breakfast have to do with protecting a life?
Yeah.
You start feeling like, oh, what if I would have done this differently? Then what the response was, what could have been different. It's really, really intense and mentally draining.
Mark, was there one or two that stand out in your mind that really bothered you? I mean, I'm sure none of it was pleasant, but was there one or two that you're like, those are the ones that I have difficulty getting over?
The one I always remember is circa 2003, 2004, Ramadi, Iraq, where I was part of a of a medical team that was a first line. We were an FSB, so that means the Ford medical support level one clinic type thing. And so we were taking in the first line casualties, and we had a guy who came in with 80% full thickness burns of his body. He's still still alive. And he's, you know, we're trying to get him, you know, because time is of the essence. You gotta get this guy to start breathing, get this guy to, you know, you have to intubate him a lot of times. A lot of times you just have to kind of get lines in him, fluids. These are the, and this guy is just, we all knew that this guy probably would not make it to Baghdad.
Well, and burns are, it's so graphic and so troubling. So, Mark, thank you so much for serving, and I appreciate both of you guys sharing your story. We'll tweet out a link to the book, and hopefully people will check it out. Anything we can do to help you in the future, let us know, okay?
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mark and Sonia, I Just Want to See Trees, A Journey Through PTSD. We'll tweet out the link. This is The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Yeah! We only have 2 minutes to get it in.
You want
to
make some money?
Let's go. I do want to make money. Let's
go. All right. There's an app called Acorn. Chris actually uses this. We were talking about it the other day. And what this app does, you...
Isn't that a progressive
organization? No. I only got 2 minutes. Come
on. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
It's called Acorn. You connect it with your bank account. Obviously, there's going to be some trust issues here. But
sure.
It rounds off every transaction you make. So if you buy something for $1.50, it takes 50 cents and invests it for you. Then you can set up your investments how you want, whether you're like aggressive investing or you're saving for a house, you're saving for put a kid through college, retirement, whatever it
is. Can you specifically say where it invests?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because you answer questions based on what your goal is, and it invests according to those questions. And then you can change it around however
like
you want.
But I couldn't say I always wanted to buy Pepsi or buy.
No. Okay. It generalizes, but based off of.
Okay.
But then it shows you like 5% is in large cap stocks. 2% is in real estate. 1% is in. It shows you where the breakdown is.
Can you cash out anytime you want?
Yes. You can cash out anytime you want, yeah. And there's a special. It's done by like.
You've done it, right?
I've been doing it.
So how have you been. Have you saved up some
so
money with
far,
it?
So far, I've had $3,000.
Since when?
Because
you told you this a while ago.
2 years.
Over 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes rounds up. And it's not like. Cause that's what I like is that it's not huge. They're not taking like a couple hundred bucks out
They're
of my account.
They're taking pennies.
They're taking pennies, literally. So if something were to go wrong, it's not like a giant loss. It is now.
You know?
Well, yeah.
For him. That's $3,000 down.
By the way, wasn't this the same thing they used in Office Space that went horribly wrong? And this is what they used in Superman 2.
Superman 3,
where it went all horribly wrong as well.
They take just pennies. It's just a penny.
It's just a penny. What's a penny? But you're still stealing, right?
You know, when you go to 7-Eleven, there's a penny. There's a little tray.
Take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, it's those
you're just taking a lot of pennies.
Yeah.
I can see this being really cool.
Yeah, I just set it up because he told me he's making money off it, and then I checked it out. This seems cool.
So you guys got money, and I'm feeling guilty for you this whole time.
No, I don't have money. I literally can only invest like a penny
or
two.
He's got money. He's walking around with $3,000.
A penny or two. That's all right. I can afford.
Let's see what's going on here.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.